Praise be to the Lord for the unspeakable grace that we can be here to worship and believe the Lord and receive what He says. You all know, when you have to preach 2 or 3 times a day, that's about as much as 2 or 3 day shifts that anybody has to do. And on top of that, there is the responsibility that comes with the preaching of the Word of God. And yet, we trust the Lord to bless and to speak and to really have something for everyone who is here. Sometimes it can happen that humanly you only want to focus on one thing doctrinally, and then God can lead it in such a way that He just gives something to everybody. Although I already want to announce that we will go through all the topics as thoroughly as possible from Monday onwards, every evening until next Sunday, God willing, and we live. We want to fill these meetings with a word reflection and hope that the Lord will speak to us all by grace. We have already had some glorious meetings, and it may be that one is more addressed by this word and the other by that word. But I believe that God has spoken to us all, and that we have received His speaking, and that we have believed Him. We still expect a number to come, and we are already happy for all those who are already here to hear God's Word. It has basically become the content of our lives. Take the divine out of your life and then tell me what you have left. Yes. Take the divine out of your life. Then come to me and tell me what is left. Yes. I mean, that is a thought that should not be passed over lightly. You all know, I was in hospital a year ago, and I heard a dying man. You have to once experience this in your life, when you have to hear an unbelieving person in his last moments, and what words he utters, in what agony that is indescribable. And the Lord Himself says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? So, let us put the eternal first. We are thankful for all earthly things, thankful for health, for food, for clothing, thankful that we are well. But we are most thankful for what God has done in our lives, because we don't leave that behind. We leave everything else behind. One leaves his beautiful house, the other his villa, the third his millions, and everyone leaves everything behind. Just as a man has come, so must he go. Or has anyone read in the papers or heard through the news that millionaire so-and-so has taken some millions with him. I haven't yet. You all read the papers, don't you? I don't, or I might have known. But something like that is not in the paper, and it doesn't come through the news. Nobody takes anything. It's all left behind. The question is, where did the person go? Where did he go? My eyes fell, although I was leafing through my favorite prophet Isaiah again, my eyes fell on a very special verse in the book of Acts, chapter 22. And here it says, in the first part of verse 6, and it came to pass, or there it happened. Three words. There it happened. And we will see in a moment what happened there. Every person has had certain experiences in life, and he can remember places, cities, and he comes back and thinks, there it was, there it happened. That is the place. One has had certain experiences in life where one remembers not only the experience, but the place, and thinks back to it. Now, here it is said, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. The sun shines brightly enough at noon, but the light that surrounded this man was brighter than the sun shines at noon. And he can say, that's when it happened. He was there. He knew where it was. He could have taken anybody and said, come, this is where I found myself on this path. Let's go until we get to the exact place where it happened. So the theme for this afternoon is, that's where it happened. Maybe in your later life you can say, I was on my way around Christmas time of the year 81, and without my wanting to, I was in the middle of a service, and suddenly something happened to me, in me, that I cannot explain. And then, if you can look back and say, that's where it happened, then that was a glorious place. Then the journey was worthwhile. Then the time was not wasted. If you can say, that's where it happened. But not just that something happened of earthly significance. Such things happen every day and everywhere. This is about much, much more. This is about what God makes happen in our lives. Suddenly, there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. That's when it happened. What happened? A light, the cloud of God's glory, came down, and the Lord addressed this man, and he fell to the ground, but he did not stay down. He got up and went on his way, because a new way began for him. The old way had come to an end. He fell to the ground, got up, and a new way began for him. The question was, who art thou, Lord? And do you know what is further written here? And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. It can happen today that two people, or three, or five, or ten, sit in a row, and they all hear God's word, but each one will only be able to perceive it personally. You cannot communicate it to the other person. It has to be a personal thing between the individual and the Lord. The Lord takes care of the individual. The thing is, in the kingdom of God, we cannot be submerged in the masses. In the kingdom of God, we become personalities. Have you heard that before? That's how it is. You can't just go into hiding and say, I'm going along. You can't. We have to have an experience with our Lord. And this story of Paul can become yours and mine. It can become our story. I wish to God that some can look back on this day and maybe to this place and say, that's when it happened. That's when God spoke to me. That's when I saw the light of life. That's when I heard His voice. And I responded. That's when it happened. Today, let it happen here with you and with me. Paul elaborates on his conversion story. I just want to touch on some details. Before, he was a respected man. He had reputation, rank and name. He had authority. You all know, at that time there were two main directions that were recognized by the state, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Everything else was written off. Everything else was not valid before the people because they were not instructed. Here we find the same Paul reporting that he was actually brought in for questioning, and a lawyer named Tertullus opened the charges against him. You can read it in Acts chapter 24, right in the first verse. And then I want to skip a few verses. This man opens the accusation speech and, of course, talks at the mouth of the highly respected. That's what happens sometimes. And in verse 4 it says, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world. They were not among all the Jews at all. They had not visited the whole Roman Empire at all. They were just reaching out far enough to make that charge strong enough. But imagine, a man from among them, a man whom they had previously invested with authority, a man whom they had sent, but for a different purpose. They had sent him to persecute the believers, to cause them suffering, because they did not like that more and more people had become believers. And I tell you, God has not brought you here today to be unbelievers any longer. God has brought you here today so that the light of God's glory may dawn on you. And we see this Saul, he was sent out with authority, and later they brought this man before the court, had the lawyer at hand, and said, "This man, we have found him to be a pestilence and a troublemaker among all the Jews and throughout the Roman Empire." That sounded reasonably good. You all know what a pestilence is, and then a troublemaker. And then they go on to say, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Yeah. That was the charge that was made here. Oh, how the heart of Paul may have rejoiced and exulted. What did he give for all the designations? What bothered him that this man said, "We have identified him as a pestilence, as a troublemaker"? This is the main leader. Now we have him. Was he bothered? In his heart, it sang, and he heard the words, but was already thanking God for the opportunity he will be given to testify. He was not offended by the accusation, but was already inwardly looking forward to the fact that he would be allowed to give a testimony before all these people of what God had done in his life. And I think I can say that it doesn't matter what titles we are given, what labels we are given, if we only know that we have found grace with God, that his light has dawned on us, then people may say what they want. A songwriter sings, "God will not ask men when he pronounces your sentence, for there no man has anything more to say. To 1,000 questions, we shall not be able to answer one. On earth, there are people who are said to be so quick-witted. You have hardly asked them the question, then the answer is already there. Just wait and see where the quick-wittedness of these people will remain." Oh, that all could understand how good God has mended with us. People get lost on purpose, for God desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Only a person who does not accept salvation is lost, but he need not be lost. Salvation has come to him as a gift of grace from God. It says here in verse 13, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. This was his defense. We might as well read on. So we see that this man of God had an experience to witness to others. But every believing man will be cast out of society. Jesus, our Lord, says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 17, ye are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. If they have hated me, they will hate you also. But then he has another glorious word, and he said, if they have heard me, they will hear you also. And he says, he who hears you, hears me, and he who hears me, hears him who sent me. This is the divine order. But there is more, namely, in chapter 26, here I want to read from verse 12, because there Paul gives again in brief this description of what happened there. Please do not forget our text or title, There It Happened. Here in chapter 26 from verse 12 it says, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, all saw the light, all fell to the ground, but the Lord's speaking was a very personal speaking. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. You know, a person to whom the Lord has spoken knows exactly in what language he has spoken. And today, it is not a question of any language, of an earthly nature. We all understand the language that is spoken here. Today, it is about the divine language. We have heard it also through Brother Schmidt from the word of Matthew 16. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. This is about the divine language of the Word of God. And I'm quite honest. I want God to speak to me. I want His Word to go to my heart. I want Him to tell me what I need to know, because I want to stand my ground before Him. A sermon in which God cannot speak to us is not a sermon, and it is either the fault of the one who brought it or of those who heard it. Sometimes people don't immediately hear what God is saying to them because they don't have a relationship with the divine things yet. They have to be born into the kingdom of God first to understand the things of the kingdom of God. Because that's what our Lord says in the Gospel of John in chapter 3. We read on here, "And I heard a voice speaking unto me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Perhaps the Lord is calling out to you today, whatever your name may be, why are you running away from me? After all, the Lord is a good shepherd, and a good shepherd is concerned about the sheep, and if he has 100 and one strays, he leaves the 99, and he goes after the one, and it might seem that the one is worth more to him at the moment than the 99. No, it's not like that. The 99 didn't go astray. They were not lost. Only the one. And he went after the one. He always kept what he said. And he said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Only that which is lost can be sought. And we have been lost through the fall. And now God seeks us. And now he addresses us and calls us out. But that is not enough for him. Here it goes on to say, "For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen." Not what he saw on any journey, not what he looked at anywhere, but what he saw and experienced from God on this journey of all journeys, namely on the journey to Damascus. And he did not go as a tourist. He went as an upset person in his heart. And I know very well that it is the same for every human being. When I came to a believers' meeting, I still remember the place. I still remember the time. I remember very well the cemetery chapel where the meetings were held after the war. And when I heard all the believers praying, something rose up in me. I thought to myself, how presumptuous can people be who now assume that they have become believers and so forth. It can happen that a person, when he comes among the believers, cannot classify all things in the same way. But this I want to tell you. God has put his hand on your life, and you will not rest until you rest in God. That's the way it is. the reactions may be different, but the goal and the result in the life of a person whom the Lord meets is the same. Now, here it goes on to say, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. You all know, they then immediately made attacks on him. He was stoned. He had to flee. They lowered him down from a window in a basket. The moment he became a follower of Jesus and was taken out of this earthly religious realm and put into the kingdom of God, outwardly a life of suffering and persecution began for him. But inwardly his life had taken on meaning and purpose. What do you want? A beautiful life on this earth? For everyone to think highly of you and for everyone to greet you? That's a fine man. Or are you ready to take upon yourself the reproach of Jesus Christ and be called a believer? And as they did to Paul at that time, perhaps even be called unpleasant names and labels. How might he have felt at that moment when they said there, this man we have considered as a pestilence, as a troublemaker? What would you say? I can tell you today what you would say. If you have experienced God as Paul had experienced the Lord, then you will let everything pass over you, and you will carry the precious divine treasure that the Lord has placed in your heart. And you know that this time will pass, and then you may be with the Lord in eternity. The Lord wanted to save him and did save him, but for a purpose. And I would like this word now to be addressed to us believers. Here it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. These were the words of our exalted Lord and Savior, who rose from the dead on the third day, who was 40 days among his own after his resurrection, and who then ascended into heaven. And the two angels who were standing by said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What a word of comfort! Jesus Christ has come, has redeemed us, has gone back, and is waiting in glory until the period of time God has given to all mankind comes to its end. Before eternity dawns again, the Lord comes again and takes back his own and takes them into glory. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again to take you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Can you all believe that? I can believe it for you, because God's word has always been confirmed. God remains true in all that he does. Here the Lord spoke to one whom he had appointed to preach his word. Thou shalt open their eyes. How can one man open the eyes of another? That can hardly be done earthly. Sure, one could perform an operation, but that is not what is being talked about here. How did God open your eyes? How did God open my eyes? By sending men whose eyes he had already opened, and they brought us the word of God. And while they were bringing us the word of God, our eyes were opened. I mean, the eyes of the heart. For thus it is written, that God would give us enlightened eyes of the heart. I think here of Philip and the eunuch who was riding in the chariot and reading in the prophet Isaiah. And he asks him, do you understand what you are reading? And he says, how can I, except some man should guide me? Dear friends, we are not here to convince anyone. We are here to give the divine guidance on how a person can come to the faith. Earthly, after all, in everything there is a guidance, an introduction to certain things. So also in the divine, an introduction, an instruction is necessary. And most of those who are convinced that they already know everything and do not need guidance, they are the ones who are worst off. Divine guidance must be given to us. And this is not a private matter that one could get in private lessons. It is quite official. It is given through the proclamation of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit works on the heart of the person who believes the Word of God. Of course, one can close one's eyes and not want to perceive the light, but that would be foolish. I mean, that God has so ordained it. And he also said through Paul, through the foolishness of preaching, it has pleased God to save them that believe. And you have to become a considerable fool to be a believer. If you approach the scriptures with highest intelligence, you don't make any progress at all. Then you see one obstacle after another, and you can't cope here, and you can't cope there, and in the end you can't cope with yourself, and you can't cope with God. But if you can use human knowledge and human intelligence for the area for which it is intended, where it is necessary and where it is appropriate, but put faith and trust where faith and trust are appropriate, namely towards God and His Word, then the impossible becomes possible, and we too will have supernatural experiences with our God, because God has not changed. You can take my word for it. It would be sad if we were only allowed to read that others have experienced God, and we could enjoy that. That wouldn't do you any good. This is just to show you and me what God has prepared for us, namely the same experiences and supernatural blessings that those people received. It is not my fault that a world church and a world Christian religion have been made out of the original living faith in Jesus Christ. This is not my fault. But our responsibility is to proclaim the faith in Jesus Christ as our fathers did in the early church. Nothing has changed about God, nor has anything changed in His Word or His power. We may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ from the heart and be saved. Is that too simple? You see, we want to make it complicated again. But God has made it so simple. I have appointed thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God has snatched us from Satan by Jesus Christ taking our place on the cross of Calvary. We were candidates for death. We should have gone down, for the punishment was upon us. And the wages of sin is death. But then it is written, He took our chastisement upon Himself and went to the cross. And there He paid the price for my redemption and yours. We have been reconciled to God. Our iniquity has been blotted out, and our sin has been forgiven. We have been snatched out of Satan's domain and power, and have been placed under the power of God. We have entered the kingdom of God, out of darkness into His marvelous light, have not only forgiveness of our iniquity and sin, but an eternal inheritance with God, with all the saints and blessed. And with God, those are holy who have claimed the holy blood of atonement in faith. There is no human beatification or canonization with God. There is only one thing with God, which is what Peter writes. We are not redeemed with corruptible things, with silver or with gold, but with the holy and precious blood of the Lamb. And because it was a holy price that was paid for us, a holy blood that was shed, and a holy word that went out to us, and the Holy Spirit convicting us, therefore we have been made a holy nation. We are not going to be. We are already. Not as people mean it, but as God meant it. Thou shalt open their eyes and show them the way out of darkness into light, out of the power of Satan into the realm of God. I'll conclude by reading again the three words Paul said here. Then it happened. The word of God will go with you. You may try to push it aside. At every opportune moment, you will be reminded. And the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, but fully accept the divine offer of grace and give Him heartfelt thanks for it. How beautiful if it could be said of you, there it happened. And if you could remember this service and say, there it happened. Hallelujah. That's what I wish for you. That's what I wish for me. That's what I wish for all of us. An encounter with the Lord who is risen and who lives. And I'll tell you something. It can happen. It shall happen. If we believe today, we shall behold the glory of God today, and His hand shall come upon us. So, we don't want to be able to look back first. We want to start right away and say, Lord, today You have spoken to me. Today I have heard You. Even though I don't understand or grasp everything yet, I consecrate my life to You. Take me and lead me from today. And then you can look back on this day and say, there it happened. May God grant it to you and to me and to all of us by grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Perhaps we sing the chorus, Just As I Am. Let us bow our heads, close our eyes, and pause in silence before God. This is not about a human or temporal decision. It is about eternity. It is about your soul and mine. It is about where we will spend eternity. And I am truly convinced, apart my humble self, I am convinced that God has spoken to us, not through my words, but through His word. I have not spoken from me, but from the Lord. I have brought these words, and the Holy Spirit will make them alive, and the effect cannot fail. Receive these words, keep them, and ponder on them in your hearts. Not everyone can make a spontaneous decision, although it would be advisable that in the hour of hearing God's word, the decision for Him is also made. The longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes. In the hour when God calls, we should respond and come to Him. Now, while all heads are bowed, eyes closed, and we remain in silent prayer before God, I would like to ask you, if you would like to be included in the prayer now, raise your hand for a moment. It's a decision. Thank you. God sees the hands. God sees the hearts. He knows how we mean it. And we can't help but consecrate our lives to Him. Then it has meaning and purpose. I say again, when you take the divine out of a person's life, there is not much left. It is temporal. It is fading. But what God gives remains for eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have reflected on your word, O God. And we believe that you still speak, Lord, that you still save. You have seen the uplifted hands of those who consecrate their lives to you, O Lord. Accept them, Savior. May they also call upon you now and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me. Savior, I pray thee, be thou mighty present by thy Holy Spirit and work more than we can ask or plead. Lord, we believe that your word does not return void, but accomplishes what you send it to do. I am convinced that some will look back on this day and be able to say, there it happened. Lord, let it happen now to all who have lifted their hands and those who have not. Lord, we ask you, for we know that you are the Almighty God, O Lord, and are able to help all. Lord, let it now come to pass that your forgiveness, that your grace, that your peace come upon all who now consecrate their lives to you, let it be done to the praise and honor of your wonderful and holy name. I thank you for this. You have saved, you have delivered, you have redeemed, you have blessed. Thanks and glory be to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.